for me, and
such a pleasure to be with you today. It's such a pleasure to live in a world like we have that God has given us in our natural world. It seems like every time I am gathered together with my brothers and sisters, I pick up something that's very profound that I can think upon for the coming week, and things that help us in our day-to-day. Elder Oots was talking this morning about how the longer we live, the more we realize how much we need our Savior, amen, Jesus Christ, and our God above that controls things that we don't even know about for our benefit. Been thinking a lot about Jedediah, who is Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived according to Scripture, except for our dear Savior Jesus Christ. And how that seems like sometimes in our lives we are looking in our own wisdom and not the wisdom of God, that we are trying to become something or do something for ourselves. Kind of a philosophy of grow up, young man, and become something. Yeah. And the way that Solomon approaches that, if you look at Ecclesiastes, it's a very interesting book. There's a lot of good things involved in it that make us think about the vanities of life. He calls many things, it's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. Right. It's like grasping for the wind. It's like things that we do in our lives that come to naught. But he tells us, I believe it's about the fifth, maybe it's a ninth chapter. Fifth, back to the fifth chapter. He says in the tenth verse, he says something that we might not think from a natural mind, but we're striving for the spiritual mind. He says in the tenth verse, he says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver." And he says, "Nor he that loveth abundance with increase, this is also vanity." Right. I have found in my earlier life that whatever I would strive for, as far as materialism, materialistic things, success, and all the things of life, never was satisfying to my soul. It's because we have to look at God for our guidance, not in our own natural minds or in our own natural ways for success in this life. You know, we see what Jesus says in Matthew in the 6th chapter, in the 19th verse, Jesus with his own words says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth doth corrupt and rust doth corrupt, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Right. We're talking about not just the eternal heaven,
right,
but the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Here on this earth.
Right.
Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Amen.
So if you love silver, it's not going to make you happy. If you love the things of materialism, of this world, it's not going to be the thing that you think that you are striving for. He says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye." Listen to that. The light of the body. Light makes manifest. God is light.
Right.
The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, if you're looking at one thing, not being double-minded, "For thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." And he says, "But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" He says, if the light in you be darkness, if your eye is focused on the things of self-satisfaction, the things of materialism in this world, the things that promote self rather than others, oh, how great the darkness is. Because you're not seeing or fulfilling the light that God has given you. Let's get back into Ecclesiastes a little bit. And maybe he gives us some understanding. The more I read this book, I read through it several times and have throughout my life, and it's always made me really think and consider what I was doing with my life.
Yeah.
And what I wanted in life, and how that was always the wrong direction. But he says in Ecclesiastes, let's go to the first chapter of Ecclesiastes, 12th verse. He is known as Jedediah, Solomon. He calls himself the preacher. He says, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem." Now think about that. The king, not the president, but the king, the sovereignty over Jerusalem. "And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom." By wisdom, I want you to think about that. That's the wisdom of the world. And by the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. But he said, "I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven." He says, "This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therein." So God knows we are a natural being. We have natural desires, natural affections that we seek after, and yet He purges us throughout our lives. The longer we live, the more we understand that we need God in our lives. It's like He is a consuming fire. And you know that gold, how it's purged. It is taken up in heat, and the impurities float to the top where you can separate it from the gold. He does the same thing with our imperfections in this life. He purges us, brothers and sisters. Lets us see the things that we need to see. He says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. This is the king of Israel, the king, the wisest man that ever lived, according to Scripture, besides Jesus Christ. He is telling us here, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. It's just a vain thing to go after the things of this life, to put treasures up for ourselves, rather than putting that our heart might follow the treasures that are in heaven, that God has showed us. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Think about when you sit down and reflect upon your lives and what you're going for in your life and what your deepest desires are. It's interesting what he points out here, because this is the king of Jerusalem, of all Israel, that had money, had all the fame, had whatever he wanted. Listen to what he says. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. It's like grasping for the wind. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Yep. The more you know about your natural life, the more it'll sorrow you. I said in my heart, this is the second chapter, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. Brothers and sisters, he tried it all. This is the king of Israel. And he had it out there. You've heard about King Solomon's mines and all the riches that he had. I made me great works. This is the fourth chapter. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them and all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water, to water therein the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house, and I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. He had it all. He had it all. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of provinces. I get me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. Then he says, so I was great. That's the way the natural man looks at greatness in these times. If you are successful, if you have all the money in the world, if you have a stature in this life, then you are great. I'm telling you, one of the greatest men that ever lived is telling you that did not satisfy him. Amen. I think if you look at your life, the successes that you have had and accomplished, if you look at it not from the hand of God, from your own abilities, it is all vanity and vexation of the Spirit.
Yep.
It is all God that gives you all things.
Amen.
He says, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Whatever that king Solomon wanted, he took it.
Right.
He comes to the conclusion, this Jedidiah, which means beloved of God, that it's all from God. Listen to what he says. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from me. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. He was working hard for things for himself to make him great. He says, so I was great. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. He's getting down to real truth,
Amen.
My dear friends.
Right.
And there was no profit under the sun. He says, and I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. He is going to die, he sees, just as the fool dies. There is one event that we all have. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity.
Yeah.
He's teaching us, brothers and sisters, what is important in this life.
Amen.
For there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten, and how dieth the wise man as the fool. Therefore I hated life. That's the natural life that he was going through. The abundance of a physical life to no avail. It didn't strengthen his soul. Didn't strengthen his heart. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. All of these pursuits, all of this work, all of this labor, he's built up, and he knows he's going out naked as he came in. The man shall be after me, and who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool?
Right.
He shows us so many things. He says in the 24th verse, there is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. If you look to God for your guidance, not your own ways to try to accumulate wealth, which sometimes takes you from that single eye that we need, money is the root of all. The love of money is the root of all evil. Nothing wrong with money. We've got to have it, brothers and sisters. And the Lord gives us ample. But if we love money, it's the root of all evil. For who can eat or who else can hasten hereto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in His sight. Underline that, His sight, not our sight.
Right.
Wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner He giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that He may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of the Spirit.
Yeah.
He sums it all up, my dear brothers and sisters.
Amen.
It's something we need to remember. We can boil it down to the simplicity of the Scripture by using a precept from God, from Jedediah, from Solomon to us in His wisdom in God, the Beloved of God, excuse me, in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, He boils it all down to us. The preacher, this is in the 10th verse, 12th chapter, 10th verse. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth.
Amen.
These words, my dear brothers, are truth.
Amen.
They're the truth that is uttered from God through all that He put them through. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there are no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. If you're going to try to figure life out without God in it, you can write boundless books. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you can go out there and read a bunch of them to no avail, to no good. There is one book that is our book that we are to follow, and that's the Scriptures from God.
Amen.
And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is awareness to the flesh. Without God, and you try and try and try to understand the words of even this book, it's to no avail. You have to pray to God.
Amen.
To read this Scripture. You have to ask Him to give you an open mind to what He wants you to see. It's not that you go in and pick out something that you might want for your own life, but it's what God wants to give you. I don't know how many times that has just completely caught me off guard. When I am looking and searching for something, I just say, God, point it out to me. And open that Scripture out of how many pages are in the Bible, and right there, He gives you light. He manifests things to you. It is such a wonderful thing that we have a God like this that works with us. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. If you want a summary of how to go through life, that's it.
Amen.
We're to be obedient to God. He has given us these things for a reason. He has given us these Scriptures for a purpose, that we might not be just a wandering generality in life trying to get something for ourselves. Have you ever noticed how people are when they are the happiest? That's when they're doing something for someone else, not for them, their own selves. He says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And he told us, set your treasures in heaven, and there will your heart be also. We cannot look at the materialistic things of this life to our own satisfaction and have God in us and the Spirit of God. We've got to listen to what He says. We've got to see the things that are phenomenally better than the materialistic things of this life. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I wish I would have thought of that when I was so much younger. Because I don't know how many years I pursued perfection in myself that I could accomplish, that I could have more, that I could appear to be doing better. And it was all vanity and vexation of the Spirit. God gives us these things. The closer we get to Him, the more we realize it, the more we understand that it's not ourselves in charge, but God is in charge of all things. He either allows things or makes them happen. It's a wonderful thing that we have a God the way we have.
Amen.
Thank you for your good attention.
Amen.
Good to be with you today.
Brother, that was good.
Yeah.
Our Lord is so good to me. That was good to you. Thank the Lord for that.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Beautiful instruction from the Word of God that we can live our life not looking for our thoughts and our ways, but rather His ways and His direction. When we do that, the Lord will take care of us. That's where it really comes to the test for us, is do we trust Him? Are we depending upon Him? Do we really believe that if we do that, the Lord will take care of us? And Scripture is clear throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament that every little child of God that placed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the faith that he can place in the Lord Jesus Christ is not just his faith, it's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that's given to him. And when we do that, when we turn our lives over to the Lord, as we sing in that hymn, God will take care of you. And he's proven that over and over again. I just felt like Brother Darrell had so well covered the subject. That maybe it'd be just a good time to close, but I do want to get a little something in as I stand before just a little while this morning. But I feel like we've really been preached to, and I thank the Lord for it. I'd like to just remind you of a passage of Scripture that I know you're familiar with in the book of 1 Kings, in the life of Elijah, the prophet. Elijah, when we read about this great prophet of God, we sometimes can't imagine that we might be able to do any of the things that Elijah did, or be able to operate like Elijah operated, or be able to live our lives like Elijah. And sometimes it's, as we read about the life of Elijah, I'm going to be reading from chapter 17 of 1 Kings. That when we read about the prophet Elijah, we sometimes can't equate ourselves with him and his circumstances. How could that teach me anything? I'm not Elijah. I'm not one of the apostles. I'm not I'm not one that walked with Jesus when he lived here in this world. I was not one that was moved as the prophet Elijah was by the Holy Spirit. And he moved as the Holy Spirit led him. And yet the Bible says that Elijah was a man, in the book of James, he says that he was a man subject unto like passions as we are. Which tells us from the Word of God, which Brother Darrell has already told us should be our guide, not how we think about it, not what we, and really what we think about it, what I think about it this morning, what you think about of it, about it, is really about the same value. And really that value is of no value unless our thoughts line with God's thoughts and His Word. You know, we're back into that, our own way of thinking. And a whole lot of preaching is just about getting God's little children out of their own thinking and having their minds and their thoughts transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you might be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that we might think like the Word of God teaches us. So we begin to look at life and our circumstances in the same light that God's little children in the Bible looked at their lives and their circumstances. And we learn from those who made mistakes, and we learn also from those who followed in the right way by the grace of God, that you and I might live our lives more to the honor and glory of the Lord. And really, that's what my life is all about. If I miss that part, that's why everything else is vanity and vexation of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul said he was thankful for the loss of all things, that he might win Christ, that he might in his mind and in his thoughts recognize that my very existence here in this world is to give honor and glory to the Lord. And that's really what my life is all about. It's not about what I achieve. It's not about what accolades are going to be said about me when I'm gone. And let's be honest about that. That really doesn't last very long, does it? If you attain to what men think are the highest, and someone stands before a congregation of people on the day of your funeral and spends a long time talking about what a great person you might have been, we already know that most of that, almost all of that, maybe all of it, is just not just what it ought to be. That what really needs to be said is that without the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for me, I am nothing. And my life should be in that direction, my thoughts should be in that direction, and my way should be in that direction, so that my life will be having meaning and purpose. And that purpose is to honor and glorify the Lord of glory, which one day we're going to be with in heaven forever and ever. And if we get that in our minds, we see the end, we see where we're headed, we see where we're going. And boy, time is passing quickly. How quick everything is going by. This old world that we thought, you know, I've got a whole lot of time in it. It just was yesterday, everybody, that I felt to be a pretty young fella. I talked to my mom this morning, and I know I've shared this with you before, but I tend to at times just to look at my hand, just to remind myself what a mess I am. And the skin that's on my hand shows me that time has taken its toll, and that now the little things I used to do to my grandfather's hand that I thought were real cute, and I thought, well, neat, I could take his hand and make little wrinkle marks in his hands, and I'd see those little wrinkles stay there. And I'd say, boy, I tell you, that's something to have skin like that. You can draw on my grandfather's hand just by the wrinkles. As I was coming down the highway this morning, I looked at my hand and I grabbed a little spot and I made a little line with the wrinkles. And I thought, boy, time has gone by so quickly. And you know, if it was all about this world, if it was all about what we accomplished, if it's all about what we're doing every day of our life, it would be just as the wise man Solomon said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. And yet there are some important things going on today, right now, here in this world. There's a God who's in heaven. There's a Son seated on the right hand of the Father. There's the Holy Spirit who is your guide, with you right now, that will lead you and guide you in your life when everything else that everybody else thinks is important is really emptiness and vanity. You and I have the fellowship with God the Father, who's on the throne, watching over us, taking care of us, keeping us out of trouble, most of which we're complaining about as we go along. Things that are occurring and taking place in our life, we go, why did this happen to have to happen? Why is this going on? Why do I have to go through this? Why Why can't that light be green when I want it to? Why is it red when I want it to be green? And, you know, why can't I just get where I want to go and do what I want to do? And why does sometimes my body ache? And why am I going through these problems? And as we go through life, even on the best of days, we go many times just murmuring and complaining. And you and I need to stand still today and just be mindful that there's a God in heaven who's watching over us right now at this very moment. And He's always been there. And so many times I haven't thought about Him. And the days that I'm not thinking about Him, I'm wasting time.
Yes, you are.
The days I'm mindful of Him, though it may be a day of pain, though it may be a day of trouble, though it may be a heartache that I don't want to go through, it may be a hard and difficult time, when I am brought to the place where I am mindful that there's a God in heaven who loved me with an everlasting, unconditional love, who at the end of it all will have me and every one of His children, if I am indeed His, every one of them will be with Him without the loss of one. And that's coming for you and me. That's going to come for every one of God's children. The Apostle Paul said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What he said, if by any means, whatever I got to go through with, whatever I'm going, not that I'm going to attain it and that I earn it, but I'm going to reach that point at some point in my life. I'm going to get there. You know why we're going to get there? Because there was a Savior who loved us enough that He will not lose one of us. And He has His hand upon us and His eyes upon us, and He will not leave us nor forsake us in this old troubled world. And whether you know that or not, He's with you every single day, all the time. What the preacher's responsibility is, what the Word of God says to us, is that you and I ought to live thinking about that. I don't want you to miss today. I want you to remember with me that as He was with Elijah, He is with you. And He is with me. You say, I'm not Elijah. The Bible says you are subject. He was subject to like passions just like you and me. What He's really saying is, look, Elijah wasn't anything without the Lord. Elijah was just the same old sinner that you and I are without the Lord. The only thing that made Elijah different was the God of heaven who touched Elijah's life. And the only one who can help us in this world is the God of heaven who has touched our life. And I'm saying to you today, if you can hear this, if you can believe this, if you can understand this, there is great evidence that somewhere the Lord has touched your life and made a difference with you. Otherwise, you'd say, what is that foolish man talking about? And I'll sure be glad when he's done so I can get out of here. But if you know what if you know the day when you heard Brother Darrell, that's the truth. That I've spent a whole lot of my time in this world after things that really didn't amount to a hill of beans and missed a whole lot of things that I should be having. And I don't want to live. Do you? Are you like me? I don't want to live one more day like that. I don't want to spend one more hour like that. Though I know in my flesh I will, it's not my goal, it's not my desire. I want to live better and act better and talk better because of the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. I want to remember, as Elijah remembered, where my help comes from all the time, not just every once in a while, but all the time. He's just the same today. We sing that hymn, do we believe it? I believe He's just the same today. I don't believe He's changed one iota. I believe the God who took care of Elijah will take care of you and me. I believe the God who led Elijah will lead you and I. I believe the Word of God that came to Elijah, we have been blessed. Elijah heard that Word as the Holy Spirit talked to him as a prophet of God. You and I have it written and recorded in God's Word, and the Holy Spirit allows us to hear it. Sometimes He has us hear it from the mouth of a man that He's called and chosen to preach it. Sometimes we have it when we're reading His Word. But I'm saying to you, isn't it a blessing to know today you and I are not alone in this old troubled world? I got good news for you. You're not alone. There's a little widow woman here that's going to be taken care of, and she doesn't have a clue about how it's coming or where it's coming. And as far as she's concerned, her life is just about over. Because I'm making my last meal, and my son and I are going to eat it, and we're going to die. And if you'd ask her, what's the forecast for you tomorrow? She would say, I ain't worried about the forecast to tomorrow, because this is it. I don't have any hope. And I'm telling you, her hope was in one. And listen, she just didn't see it yet, but she had hope. She had one who was not going to leave her nor forsake her. I got about an hour and a half worth of preaching in front of me right now. I'm not intending to take it, so don't get nervous.
Why not?
But I'm telling you, God is with us today here at Happy Creek Church. God is with each and every one of us. And He's a God, when you're in trouble, who can feed you with ravens, and they'll bring you meat, and they'll bring you bread. And I believe it was good meat, and I believe it was good bread. I believe it was good food, and they'll bring it in the morning, and they'll bring it in the evening, and they won't necessarily bring you everything you want for a week. They're going to bring it in the morning when you're hungry in the morning, and they're going to bring it in the evening when you're hungry in the evening, and the Lord leads you by the brook, and the brook will not run dry until it's the Lord's time for it to run dry. And when that brook runs dry, He's got another source just as strange and just as unusual that will show His glory and His power waiting for you even before you can think about what it is. And you and I sitting around worrying about whether the brook's going to run dry or whether the ravens are going to come is a waste of our time and a disservice to God. Because He will, do you believe it? He will take care of you. I want to say it. I want to believe it. I want to walk in it. I want to act like it. I want to live it. And if I'm not doing that, I'm pursuing the things of this world that the wise man Solomon went after with all his power and with all his strength, and he didn't get better in them. He gained them and had them. And what did it mean to him? He said it was all emptiness. And any of us who've gone through any problems at all realize the things at one time that we thought were so important don't really mean very much at all. And some of the things that we've neglected along the way are so much more vitally important. And there's nothing more important that you can do today than to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. And we're not talking about getting things, you know, some people think they're sending things to heaven so that heaven will be a little better for them when they get up there. Oh, I'm telling you, if you already think about heaven, is there anything you could add to heaven to make it better than what it already is? Absolutely not. We'll see Jesus face to face, and we'll see Him as He is, and we'll be made like unto Him. And nothing could make heaven any brighter there in eternal heaven. I'm telling you, though, here in this time world, there are great treasures that God's little children have laid up for themselves along the way. They've heard sermons that they laid up in their heart. So when their body wasn't able to get to the meeting house and they could hear those sermons preached, their memory could bring them back. And they would feed upon those treasures. And they would feed upon those things that they've had. I'm telling you, our experiences in our life are great blessings when we look to the Lord. And as we lean upon Him and trust in Him, He supplies every single day what we stand in need of. I'm going to just have to read the passage. He says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." We could just stop right there. There's a God who liveth. Isn't that good to know today your God lives? Aren't you glad we don't have a little statue somewhere that we made that we got to keep shined up and propped up and cleaned up? And you have to work really hard to keep those idols of this world. And don't act like we don't sometimes make them, because we do. They may not be just the silver and gold and the stuff that looks like what we would call an idol, but there's many times you and I start trusting in things that have no power and no ability, and we make little gods out of them. Even some things that are great blessings that the Lord has given us, they take a place above the place that only is reserved for the Lord in our lives, and they become little idols. He said, "There's as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." That means the Lord's going to cut the water off. And until the prophet, by the movement of Almighty God, says it's going to rain, it's not going to rain. Do you suppose for a moment that made him very popular with Ahab, with Jezebel? No, I'll tell you what, if they could have killed him, they would have. And they no doubt came after him to kill him. And the Lord had a plan for him, though. The Lord had a purpose for him. The Lord had a place for him to go. But the word of the Lord came unto him saying, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." In other words, he said, go hide yourself. You know why he needed to hide himself? Because Ahab the king of Israel, the king who had the power, was going to no doubt take his life if he could have. But Ahab couldn't find him. You know why? Because the Lord hid him. Ahab would have killed him, but he didn't. You know why? Because the Lord took care of him. Ahab would have destroyed him. There are forces in this world, and there are adversaries that you and I have that would destroy our lives. But as we walk in obedience to the Word of God and we listen to what the Lord would have, the Lord will protect us and keep us in the midst of the storms of life. And has He not already done that for you and I in our lives, even to this point? Can you not see the hand of God there? But He said, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I'm telling you, if God came to us or told us in His Word, that's the plan we'd have. Most of us would probably say, I don't know if that plan's going to work. So how are you going to be taken care of? Well, I'm just going to send you down here by the river. It's not going to rain, but I'm going to send you here by the river, and you're going to get things out of the river, and you're going to be by the brook, and in the morning you're going to wait, and not doves, not nice birds, ravens. Have you watched ravens before? Have you seen ravens? Ravens are not, they're called ravens for a reason. They don't share. I mean, it'd be like you and I thinking, you see a couple buzzards. I saw two buzzards fighting over something, a little piece of meat in the road today. They weren't sharing. They weren't about to say, oh, let me give this away to somebody. They're ravens. But God, listen, you know who's in control of the ravens? You know who's in control of the sparrows? You know who's in control in this world? The Lord of glory, our God. The God that He said, the Lord God of Israel liveth. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went. And get this. This is what the Lord said, and what did he do? It says, and so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Isn't that what Brother Darrell just laid out before us? Whatever he says, just like little Sister Mary said to those ones at the first miracle that Jesus performed, whatsoever he says, do it. Listen, little children of God, what he says in his word, that's what we need to do. And he said, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Kerith, and that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. There's dear old Elijah, standing there by the brook. You know, a brook doesn't just dry up in the day, does it? Every day what happens? It ain't raining. The brook's going down. You know what you and I do in circumstances like that? We begin to wonder what we're going to do. Things are not looking good. The brook that I've been drinking from is drying up. I haven't heard from the Lord. It wasn't any time to hear from the Lord yet. You know why? Because it wasn't the Lord's time for him to move. When is it time to hear a word from the Lord? When it's time to move. And until that time, we wait patiently and do what the Lord would have us to do. And as the Lord, time goes on, as the brook dries up, you may be at a place right now that looks like your brook has dried up. Listen, the Lord's got a little widow waiting for you. Just because your brook's dried up doesn't mean that you don't have help on the way. Just because it doesn't look so good to you. Just because you're dependent upon those ravens. And didn't the ravens bring food yesterday and the day before that? And here I've been by this brook, and every day in the morning and the evening I've been trusting the Lord to bring me ravens. I don't know what His plan's going to be for me where the next meal's coming from when I go somewhere else. Listen, to leave the brook means I leave the ravens. I don't know what God's plan is, but I know this, it may not look so good to you, but let me tell you this, God will take care of you. I'm not done, but I'm going to stop. If you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Please, let's trust Him. Let's lean upon Him like Elijah. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. May we be in prayer just saying, Lord, take care of us. Lord, take care of our membership. Lord, take care of our country. Lord, take care of our churches. Lord, take care of our families. Lord, take care of me. Lord, please provide what I stand in need of, so that I won't walk in doubt and fear and waste my time but that I may walk, like the Apostle Paul said, if by any means I might attain, I'm going to reach it, not get it on my own, unto the resurrection of the dead. That's awaiting us. That's the promise of Almighty God. When you have a time to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Love you, brother. God bless you. The Lord bless you.